Becatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Becatra AI. Welcome back. Today, we're diving deep, really deep, into the very foundation of, well, looking at ourselves. If you've ever found yourself scrolling, maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed or inadequate with all the experts telling you exactly how to live, then you probably need Montaigne.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking about Michel de Montaigne and his incredible work, The Complete Essays. And this book, it did a couple of really revolutionary things. First, it basically invented a whole genre, the essay.
All right, the essay.
And second, it pioneered this whole idea of self-examination, sort of created the blueprint for the modern, self-aware, sometimes contradictory person that, you know, you and I are.
It feels like the perfect antidote almost to our digital age, which demands certainty, doesn't it? Instead of a big philosophy with all the answers, Montaigne gives us the most vital question. Qu'sais-je?
What do I know?
Exactly. Okay, let's unpack this. Let's see how he modeled what he called the art of living well, really, by just honestly accepting how inconsistent we humans are.
Yeah, and if we connect this to the bigger picture.
Yeah.
The book, it's not offering a map for life, is it? It's more like a companion for the journey itself. It's about how to be human, flaws and all, not how to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So to really get the essays, you have to understand the man a bit. Michel Aquem de Montaigne, born 1533, died 1592. He was pretty well off. A French Renaissance nobleman, served as a magistrate in Bordeaux.
And crucially, this was during the French Wars of Religion. I mean, a truly horrific time. Civil violence, neighbors killing neighbors,
mm-hmm.
all driven by this absolute unshakable certainty about God.
Mm.
He saw firsthand the bloody results of people being utterly convinced they were right.
That context is just, it's everything, isn't it? Mm. He wasn't some scholar locked away in an ivory tower. He was out there a politician, a soldier. He saw fanaticism up close.
So his questioning of certainty wasn't just academic navel-gazing?
No way. It was almost a survival strategy, you could say. This practical experience with how people actually behave shaped his whole outlook.
And then in 1571, he does something quite dramatic. He's 38, and he retires from public life. Goes off to his library, in a tower, no less.
Yeah, and he wasn't just looking for quiet time. He was dealing with some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
The loss of his closest friend, Étienne de la Boétie, which just devastated him.
Mm.
And he was also suffering from chronic, really debilitating pain from kidney stones. So this writing project he starts, the essay, which literally means attempts or trials, it began as a response to all that, to grief, to pain, deeply personal.
And here's where it gets really interesting. He makes himself the subject in all his flawed, pained, inconsistent glory. That was radical.
Completely. Before Montaigne, philosophy was all about abstract virtues, big ideas out there. But he turned the lens inward. So the ordinary, messy, individual self was actually worth studying.
So what is this book then, The Complete Essays? It's huge, right?
It is. It's a collection, 107 chapters written over about 20 years.
Yeah.
And the topics are, well, they're all over the place.
Huh. Yeah. You get these incredibly profound thoughts on, say, friendship, and then the next chapter might be about, what was it, smells or thumbs.
Exactly. But the whole thing, this massive sprawling work, it's driven by one core idea, real wisdom. It doesn't come from some external authority or rigid system.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from looking at yourself,
mm-hmm.
honestly, relentlessly. He's basically showing us that the whole universe of knowledge, in a way, is right there inside the complex workings of one human mind, his own, as an example for us.
And that kind of honesty, that self-examination, it inevitably leads back to that motto you mentioned, the one we keep circling back to, qu'sais-je?
What do I know? It's the ultimate tool, really, for intellectual humility. Think about today, how quickly we jump to certainty in debates, online or off.
Oh, yeah.
Montaigne's pushing back. He's saying maybe the most honest, the most sound position you can take is uncertainty. It makes you pause, examine your own assumptions first.
What's also fascinating, I think, is that the book itself changes over time. It's not static. You actually see him evolving.
That's a great point. It shows a human being in motion. You see him grappling with ideas, shifting his perspective. He starts out maybe a bit more influenced by stoicism, you know, control your emotions, reason is king.
Right, the stiff upper lip philosophy.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But as he goes on, especially in the later essays, he moves towards this much more mature acceptance of, well, everything. Experience, the body, contradiction. The whole book feels like you're witnessing an intellectual and emotional journey.
Okay, so let's dive into some specific parts. Where should we start? Maybe with one of the earlier, more surprising essays?
How about Of Cannibals? It feels incredibly relevant today.
Oh, definitely. It's this amazing early example of cultural relativism. So he's using accounts from travelers, people who'd been to Brazil, talking about the indigenous people there.
And he turns it into this huge critique of European arrogance.
Yeah.
He basically says, hang on a second. We Europeans call these people savages. But look at us. We're tearing each other apart over religious disagreements, torturing people, causing unimaginable suffering.
Yeah.
These so-called savages, maybe they have some rituals we find shocking, like eating enemies. But in many ways, he argues, they live more naturally, maybe even more honorably than civilized Europeans.
He's pointing out that what we consider normal or civilized is often just habit,
what?
Local custom. It's not some absolute truth handed down from on high.
Exactly. Are we judging them because their customs are different or just because they aren't French or aren't Christian? It's this radical challenge to ethnocentrism, centuries ahead of its time.
It really makes you question your own assumptions. And that kind of radical questioning, that leads us nicely into book two, doesn't it? And the big one, The Apology for Raymond Sebond.
Ah, yes. The philosophical centerpiece. On the surface, it's supposed to be a defense of this theologian, Sebond. But it doesn't really end up being that.
Not at all. It morphs into this colossal takedown of human intellectual pride. Montaigne just systematically dismantles our confidence in our own reason.
He argues our reason is shaky, our senses fool us constantly. If we're truly honest, can we know anything for certain? He even suggests, quite cheekily, that animals might live more wisely because they just follow their nature. They don't tie themselves in knots with grand philosophical systems.
Okay, but doesn't that sound, I don't know, a bit dark? Like he's rejecting reason altogether. How do we work with that?
That's the key, though. It's the brilliance of his skepticism. He's not saying abandon reason. He's saying abandon overconfidence in reason.
Ah.
He's undermining that absolute human certainty, arguing that, really, humility is the only intellectually sound place to stand. It's like he's saying, look, if I can't even fully trust my own mind, how on earth can I justify using it as a weapon against someone else? That uncertainty becomes the fertile ground for tolerance.
I see. So it's less about knowing nothing and more about recognizing the limits of what we know.
Precisely. And by the time we get to book three, you feel this shift. He seems less concerned with proving intellectual points and more settled into this mature, almost life-affirming wisdom. It's about acceptance. And this is where we find some really practical stuff for, well, for living today.
Like the essay of repentance, this one really surprised me. We usually think self-improvement means regretting our past mistakes, right? Trying to be better than we were. Montaigne flips that. He suggests maybe we should own our past actions, even the regrettable ones, because they were authentic to who we were at that time.
It's radical self-acceptance, isn't it? Instead of constantly beating ourselves up for not matching some external ideal of perfection, he's saying, just accept the messy, complex person you actually are right now. Think how much anxiety that could reduce.
A lot. And all this leads to his final sort of capstone essay of experience. You described it earlier as his final philosophical diet plan. I like that.
Huh. Well, he started out trying to force himself into that strict stoic diet, mind over matter, reason above all.
Right.
But he ends up realizing that lived experience, the messy stuff, the body, illness, habits, diet, all those little details he writes about, that's the most reliable guide we have for living well. The focus shifts completely. It's less about preparing for death.
And more about fully living life, right here, right now. Embracing the physical side, too. Not scorning the body.
Exactly. Don't scorn the body. Attend to it. Enjoy it.
So through this whole process, this turning inward, he basically discovers that the hardest thing to truly understand is yourself. And by meticulously, honestly observing his own shifting thoughts, his moods, his flaws, he somehow manages to tap into universal human truths.
Let's pull out a few of those lines that just stick with you, because the power of the essays is often in these brilliant, concise phrases. First, that declaration of intent.
I am myself the subject of my book.
Boom. Right there. That's the mission statement for, like, modern autobiography, maybe even psychology. He's saying the ordinary person living an ordinary life is the ultimate subject for deep thought, not just kings or saints.
And then, of course, the motto we keep mentioning.
Gesäß. What do I know?
Yeah. And we should remember, that's not giving up. It's like a tool, isn't it? A weapon against rushing to judgment, especially when we feel that urge to condemn others. It's the pause button on dogmatism.
Absolutely. And he also gave us this incredible insight, connecting us all.
Every man has within himself the entire human condition.
Think about that. If you feel chaotic, contradictory, pulled in different directions. Guess what? That's not a bug, it's a feature.
Huh. Right. Montaigne said humans are patchwork and so shapeless and diverse. Your own internal struggles, your journey, it's not just your story. It reflects the shared reality of being human.
And finally, that beautiful culmination from an experience.
It is an absolute perfection, and as it werewolf divine for a man to know how to enjoy his own being loyally.
Wow. Just sit with that. The ultimate goal isn't to escape yourself or become someone else. It's about loyalty to your own being, enjoying it authentically right now. That's the divine perfection available to us.
So, okay. This is all fascinating 16th century wisdom, but how do we actually use this today in our busy screen-filled lives?
Right. We can actually adopt some of his core practices. They're surprisingly practical.
Tip one, the Montaigne Journal. And this isn't just, you know, dear diary. It's about radical self-reflection, but crucially, without the self-judgment.
Exactly. Don't write about who you should be. Write about who you are.
Yeah.
Honestly, note the contradictions, the shifting moods, the silly habits you have. That honesty, that's the path to self-acceptance he modeled.
Okay, I like that.
What else? Tip two, combating polarization with humility. Think about any heated discussion, work, family, online. Apply the what do I know test. Before you jump in with absolute certainty, just pause. Acknowledge the limits of your own knowledge. It forces you, or at least encourages you, to seek out other views, to avoid that overconfidence bias. If Montaigne could find humility during a literal religious war.
We can probably manage it in a comment section.
Yeah.
Fair point.
All right. And tip three, finding joy in the mundane. Montaigne's focus on the body, on simple pleasures, it's a powerful reminder. A well-lived life isn't just about hitting big goals way off in the future.
It's about the present.
It's about optimizing the present. Prioritize simple, tangible things.
Mm-hmm.
A good meal, proper rest, real conversation, a walk outside. These aren't just optional extras. He saw them as essential parts of existence where real wisdom is often found.
What really struck me reflecting on all this is how he took something profoundly difficult, retirement, forced by pain, by grief, and turned it into this revolutionary philosophical project.
Yeah.
The lesson seems to be that wisdom isn't some abstract thing you find on a mountaintop. It's woven right into the fabric of ordinary, difficult, complicated life.
Absolutely. And the enduring relevance, why we're still talking about the essays 400 years later, mm-hmm. is that they offer this incredible antidote to so much modern anxiety and dogmatism.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest takeaway for me, it's that the complexity, the contradictoriness of being human, it's not a flaw we need to fix. It's just the reality. And accepting that reality in ourselves and in others, that's the beginning of tolerance, compassion, and maybe even a little bit of wisdom.
A powerful thought to end on.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.